Get your fill of baseball news and beer reviews at foulballarea.com. Follow our blog for the latest news around the baseball world and read about some of our favorite ballpark beers. Tune into the podcast every Wednesday as we take a deep dive into the topics of the day. Stay connected by signing up for our mailing list or following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at foulballarea. Now, here's today's episode of the Foulball Area Podcast with Matthew Atkins and Trey Lyle. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest episode of the Foulball Area Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning into today's edition. We've got a very good show coming up for you today over the next half hour or so. A lot of historic stuff that happened over the weekend. Some news coming out yesterday afternoon that we're going to update you on later on in today's show. It should be a very good one. I'm Matthew Atkins. Trey Lyle, my co-host, is with me. Trey, I don't know about you, but I'm in a really good mood. It's about 70 degrees here in Richmond. It's cool, cool weather. It's starting to feel like fall. I woke up this morning. I had some apple cider donuts and pumpkin spice coffee. I mean, it's like full-on fall in our household, and I'm really loving it.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. It's an interesting week for me in Kansas, as some of you may know, which I should make it more public as the today goes on. This is my last week in Kansas as I'm moving back home. Been working on packing a little bit and just enjoying, my time here, my great job that I had here with Kansaland Radio for one final week. And so be heading your way. So we might have to be able to do an in-person podcast come next week.
Yeah, this might be our last Zoom podcast for the foreseeable future. As you're moving back here next week, we are excited for you to be back in Richmond, back in the 804. I feel like I can call it that now that I live here. I feel like that's like an insider thing.
Yeah, 804, stand up, man.
Yeah, I lived in Harrisonburg. I'd call it the 540. So all now I'm in the 804.
The current front runner for NFL MVP, Russell Wilson, from the 804. So just putting that out there.
I guess you could call him that. It's only 1 week, but
he looked really good.
You know, yeah. Well, my guy Lamar Jackson looked pretty good as well. But that's football, and we're a baseball podcast.
Yeah. So Justin Verlander representing the 804, even though he's not playing this year. How about that?
Yeah. There you go.
Justin the former official pitcher of the Foulball Area Podcast.
That is true. He's also on the All Virginia team that we put out couple of months ago over the summer of all of the greatest MLB players of all time from the state of Virginia. But like I said, we do have lots of stuff to get to on today's episode of the podcast. Just a little bit of the news that has happened this week. Albert Pujols hit his 660th home run, tying Willie Mays for fifth on the all-time home run list. Chicago Cubs pitcher Alec Mills threw a no-hitter, the 16th no-hitter in Chicago Cubs history, the second in MLB this season following Lucas Giolito. It also marks the first time that both Chicago teams have had a no-hitter in the same season. Billionaire Steve Cohen has reached an agreement to buy the New York Mets from the Wilpon family. Two-time All-Star Pablo Sandoval is signing a minor league deal with the Braves after being released from the San Francisco Giants. The Oakland A's have lost All-Star third baseman Matt Chapman to injury. They signed Jake Lamb to replace him for the rest of the season. That will hurt the A's lineup as we move towards the postseason here. And finally, Major League Baseball and the Players Association have reached an agreement on a postseason bubble format, confirming what we have thought for the past couple of weeks. The 2020 MLB playoffs will be played in a bubble format. And so that's what we're going to spend probably the bulk of our time on today's podcast talking about, because this is big news.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to give the breakdown, so it came out today. So the NL teams are going to play in two American League stadiums in Houston and in Arlington at the Astros and Rangers stadiums, respectively. And then the AL teams will head over to California and play, I assume, in the Dodgers stadium in LA, and then obviously with the Padres in San Diego. NLCS will take place in Arlington. The ALCS will take place in San Diego. And then the World Series taking in the new, I think this was the best option, picking the newest ballpark, Globe Life Park, in Dallas, Texas, Arlington, Texas, to be more specific, will be where the World Series takes place. And if you look at it, baseball's had plenty of outbreaks and losing players to COVID. This is the one way to do it. I mean, you look at the success the NBA is having with the bubble as they're now heading to their conference finals. We record this on Tuesday night. This will be the last. They have game seven of the Western Conference semifinal tonight, and game one of the Eastern Conference final. So they're wrapping up their postseason in a bubble, and it seemed to work really well. And but also it gives those higher they still gave higher seed teams an advantage in the wild card round, where I think you would see most of your discrepancy or the craziness happen if they had the bubble. They'll have a three game series at the home team. So for example, as it currently sits, the one seed in the NL will be obviously the Dodgers. The eight seed, maybe a surprise, the Giants. So that would take place in Los Angeles, as the Dodgers will host a three game series there. And then so the full breakdown as it goes, as it sits right now, but it's a lot of close races. For example, we'll get to the 4-5 and the 3-6 matchup in the AL. Well, that could change after tonight, because the Yankees and the Blue Jays are only a half game in between each other. It's one game in the loss column. So they play each other on Tuesday night. So that could flip-flop. And we'll get to it. And all I got to say is a certain team does not want to see the Yankees in the 4-5 matchup. So as it breaks down in the National League, Matt, just give me your overall thoughts as I read through this. Dodgers Giants is the 1-8. 4-5 is Padres Marlins. Then the 3-6 is Braves Cards, and then Cubs Phillies to round out that bracket. A couple of surprise teams in there. I think, in my personal opinion, the team I'm most worried about, I guess, to pull off the upset would be the Cubs, because the Phillies are catching fire of late, and I would expect maybe they not even sit in that seventh spot. They could move up some and get past the Marlins even and play San Diego, which would be a fun series. If it was I'd take Padres Phillies as a series, so you're going to see a lot of home runs. But that's the NL as it shapes out right now. So as it sits with about 2 weeks left, what do you think about this NL bracket?
There's not a series in this current bracket that I'm not excited for. I mean, you get Dodgers-Giants, which obviously a big division rivalry. The Giants, I don't think anybody thought that they would be in the postseason, so that's huge that they are even making it to the playoffs. So I'm excited for that one. Cubs-Phillies, like you said, the Phillies are a really, really hot team right now. They have just been on fire over the past couple of weeks. Bryce Harper predicted it. He said in an interview that the Phillies had to win 9 out of 10 games, and then after that they went on and did just that. They won 9 out of 10 games, and so they are a really hot team right now. I don't think any team wants to play them, and so they are currently matched up against the Cubs, who have been one of the best teams in the National League this year, so I would really be excited for that matchup. Braves Cardinals, of course, last year they played in the NLDS. It did not go so well for the Braves. We don't need to get any more into that, but a rematch. I'm excited for that. And the 4-5 series, the Padres are the most exciting team in baseball. Fernando Tatis Jr., Eric Hosmer, Will Myers, Manny Machado, all of those guys, great players, fun to watch, a great team. Mike Clevinger thrown into the rotation now after the trade deadline. So the Padres are the most exciting team in baseball. And the Marlins, I know I said the Phillies are pretty hot, but the Marlins just may be the hottest team right now. 24-21, they are the fifth seed in the National League. I don't think anybody wants to face the Marlins with the way that they're playing right now. So Padres, Marlins, I mean, 2 years ago, if you said Padres, Marlins would be an exciting postseason series, I would have thought you were crazy. But this year, I'm all for it. Let's do it. I want to see that series.
Do you think what's more surprising, the fact that the Padres at 32-17 have the second best record in the National League? Granted, because they have the Dodgers in their division, they're obviously second. I mean, they still actually have a shot at first place. They're only a game out of first, roughly, because the Dodgers are 33-15. So you really could see the Padres get the one seed here. Wouldn't be surprising. Or the Marlins. I think the three surprise teams, obviously, I would expect the Padres to make the playoffs, but to play this well, I didn't. The Marlins to get in there and the Giants to get in there. At the beginning of the year, I'd tab the Marlins and the Giants as two of the worst teams in the National League. I think the Nationals not playing as well as they should. 17-28 is not as good. So a couple of surprises on that National League side.
Yeah, I'm more surprised that the Marlins are in a postseason spot. I mean, like, how did we get here? I mean, the Padres, I kind of expected them to be good eventually when they traded or when they signed Manny Machado to that huge free agent contract. They got guys like Eric Hosmer. When they traded for Fernando Tatis and brought him up to the major leagues, you expected them to be good eventually. I think they've just kind of fast-tracked that and gotten to where they are a lot faster than people thought they would. The Marlins, I don't know how they got here. I mean, Sixto Sanchez has been great in the rotation. They've got a couple of solid bats. I haven't really watched the Marlins that much this season, so I can't really tell you what they're doing right, but they're doing something right, and it has led to them getting the five spot in the National League bracket right now. I don't know if they'll keep it, as we have just 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks now, till the end of the season, but it's a very good chance that they will end up making the playoffs and be in one of those middle seeds.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think something that's pretty interesting is with this new postseason format, despite everything, so the Padres would play the wild card game and they still have to face the Dodgers in the next round as the four seed, where so it still kind of works out that way, where the Padres and the Dodgers would be the wild card team you would expect to come out of the wild card series. And then now they're still going to have to play the one seed because they're that 4-5 matchup. Whereas, if they were the worst team in the National League, or should I say they were like the 7 seed, they wouldn't have to play the Dodgers until the NLCS. So it's pretty interesting how this kind of still formats its way that it would be kind of a normal postseason because you would have the Dodgers, Cubs, Braves, and then the Padres as the first wild card team, and then I believe it would be the Marlins as the second wild card team. So the top 5 seeds would be the top 5 seeds if we had a normal postseason, which is pretty good. And which you can't say in the American League as we move to the American League, and this is crazy. Someone asked me who is the number one seed in the AL. I pick, and you get like 5 choices. I would not have gotten to this team. And I got to give credit to my co-host here, who picked him to win the Central. The White Sox currently in first place, a 1-game lead over Tampa Bay, who is the 2 seed, and then Oakland, the 3 seed. So how it works out is the White Sox will open against the Indians, and then Twins, Blue Jays, and we'll highlight that 4-5 matchup in a minute. And then you have A's, Astros as the 3-6, and then the Rays, Yankees as the 2-7. And the crazy part is both the 7 seed and the 8 seed have a better record than the 6 seed Houston Astros, who are in very deep danger of missing the playoffs, as they're the only team that currently sits in the postseason on the AL side with a losing record at 23-24. Yet the West is yeah, West probably the worst division right now in baseball, the way it looks, is has a losing record, but will be the 6 seed in the postseason because they are second in the division. So I guess this is kind of how the uniqueness of this postseason works, as whereas you sometimes see a wild card team have a better record than a division leader, but since they're a division leader, they don't have to play in the wild card game. So that's kind of basically the scenario here. Both the Indians and the Yankees have, and the Blue Jays, I'm going to throw the Blue Jays in because they're only a half game lead above the Yankees, and they play a 3-game series. They play a series this week. So if you're the Minnesota Twins, I think you're rooting hard for the Blue Jays because it reminds me very much to do a parallel in sports. Like for years, the Raptors could not get over the LeBron James hump. And what happened when they got to avoid LeBron James in the postseason? They won the title. Granted, there are a lot more circumstances that came into that, but I think it's that kind of thing. If the Twins can avoid the Yankees, especially in that first round, they're going to feel, I think it's just a little bit of confidence. And you could see the Twins make some noise. So if you're a Twins fan, shout out to Evan Hughes. I think you're rooting hard for the Blue Jays to get that 5 seed. So you play the Yankees, or you avoid the Yankees in that first round.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely the Twins want to avoid playing the Yankees at all costs. Again, looking at the AL bracket, I mean, there's not a series here that I wouldn't be excited for. You got the White Sox and the Indians, which if there's any team in MLB that's more exciting than the Padres, it's the White Sox. And they're the number one seed in the American League right now, and they would play the Indians if the regular season were to end today and the playoffs begin. The White Sox and Indians, division rivals. The White Sox have great young players. Very exciting matchup there. You have the Rays and the Yankees, obviously another division rivalry. The Rays have kind of dominated the Yankees so far this season, but the Yankees are starting to play better, so that would probably be a very good series. A's, Astros, division rivals again, and the Astros, of course, with their cheating scandal, everybody hates them. The A's have dominated them this season. You've seen some dramatic moments with Ramon Laureano charging the dugout in their game a couple of weeks ago. Twins Blue Jays, not too much there in terms of, rivalry or history or anything like that, but two great teams, fun to watch, exciting young players. So all of these series would be very fun, and I'd be fine if the final standings in the American League were the way that they are today.
I also want to say this. I think the American League will have, since it is more wide open as it sits, I think you will see more upsets as it sees, because I could wholeheartedly see the Indians taking 2 or 3 from the White Sox. I could see the Yankees taking 2 or 3 from the Rays, especially if those two wild card teams, I both can see advancing for the World Series. I wouldn't say the same in the National League, because if you look at the Yankees, they have an ace in Gerrit Cole. You're gonna plug Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton into their lineup this weekend, and they're going to get some sort of rhythm for the postseason. As they'll get 1 week to get ready for the postseason, and then they play. And when they're fully healthy, it's the best. You could argue it's the best lineup in baseball, and they're starting to build momentum. If I'm the seventh seed, is the New York, like, think about that. You could argue the seventh seed in the American League right now is the favorite. That's how wide open it is. Compared to the National League, where I think it's, like we said last week, I think it's a 4-team race, and I still think it's a 4-team race. And so I think if you want to see mayhem or excitement in terms of upsets, I don't say the Yankees being the underdog is an upset, but I really could see like a if the Yankees, let's say the Yankees play the Rays, who you're gonna still are the Yankees the underdog in that series? It's hard to argue that they're not. They couldn't be. So maybe the Rays, who have consistently been the favorite or the best team in the American League this year, could be the underdog in their wild card series against the Yankees, who are the perennial favorite coming into this season. I'm not saying that's going to happen, and I probably favor Tampa Bay in that series just because the Yankees have shuffled their lineup so much. But I could see it. I could see the Yankees as a lower seed in any of these matchups. They're going to be between the 4 seed, I guess. I'll say the 5 seed. They'll either be the 5 seed all the way down to the 8 seed. So they'll either be 5, 7, 8, basically how it shakes out. They're either going to be that second place team or one of the wild card teams. I think it's just going to be determining between the Blue Jays and the Yankees for that second spot. And then I guess the Indians and the Twins, roughly. They're 3 games back with a week left, so I won't really say it there. But I could see the Twins overtaking the White Sox. They're only 2 games back in the division. So it's still a lot more shuffleness in the AL, but basically the AL is a lot more wide open.
So a couple of thoughts on the playoffs overall. I don't really like that the first round is just a 3-game series. I mean, I get it because there are a lot more rounds now and they have to get it done with. So make it only 3 games, play 3 consecutive days, get that first round done. But I think that maybe the top 2 seeds in each league should get a bye, because if you get a team like the White Sox or the Dodgers that have a great regular season, and then they have to play a 3-game series. They could easily lose that series. Anything can happen in 3 games. So I don't like that. I know it's different for this season because everything is weird this season. If we had a 162-game season and you had the number 1 seed in your league and your season came down to a 3-game series, I don't like that. You deserve more than that. You deserve a bye or a 5-game series or something. But 3 games is not enough for the number 1 seed in each league. So I don't like that. I don't really like the expanded playoffs as a whole because it just diminishes the value of the regular season. I'll accept it for this year because of the way this year is and how everything is just so strange and doesn't make any sense at all in 2020. So I'll accept the expanded playoffs for this year, but I'm not a fan of it in general. I don't know. Those are just my thoughts. I really don't like the 3-game series in the first round, especially for the top seeds, because they deserve better than that.
I get
Just my
your
two cents.
point, but I want to disagree because this season is just 60 games. We truly don't know, like what would happen if you doubled the season. Like this is not even half the season, so this is you somewhat get a sample size, but truly, like if we played another 80 games, does the White Sox still remain the number one team in base, like number one team in the American League? I don't know.
Maybe
So
not.
I think because we have a shortened season, and I also I just I kind of think why something that's missing from baseball is excitement around the game. And I think this postseason format brings that because a three-game series gets that feel of upsets can happen. And then I think we had a couple of upsets. If you had a Cinderella team make that next round, it sparks more interest into the game. And I think that's going to increase viewership as we go on.
Yeah, I
So,
mean, see that's why I mean I
like, look at this. Like the Miami Heat were the 5 seed in the Eastern Conference, and they're about to play in the Eastern Conference Finals. They're kind of been the underdog because they, granted, they're my favorite basketball team, and I picked them against. Well, I said 6 games. They play the Bucks well, but they just upset the number one seed, and that was the, like part of the talk of basketball. Look at what the Denver Nuggets are doing right now against the Clippers, who are maybe the favorite in the entire basketball, and they pushed into a game seven after being down 3-1. Like it brings the excitement to the game, I think, in these shorter series because you really don't know what's going to happen in that first week. Whereas once you get to a 7-game series, typically, not all the time, typically the better team wins. So I think this kind of makes it a little bit more exciting, and it's not really fully sacrificing kind of, I don't, the integrity of the postseason, if you want to say,
Yeah.
because it's not like 1 game. It's 3 games. So theoretically speaking, the best team should win 60% of the time is kind of
Yeah.
how you think about it.
Yeah, I mean it is exciting, and that's I can see both sides of the argument because I do think that it does diminish the value of the regular season when you have more teams make the playoffs. But also, it means that we get to watch more baseball. And I don't want to say no to more baseball.
Good
So I
point.
can see both sides of it. You know, we get a lot more baseball with more playoff teams. So I am a fan of that. But I don't want half of the league to make the postseason every year. I can see both sides. It's tough. But definitely going to be a fun postseason to watch. It all begins on Tuesday, September 29th. That's when the first games in the first round begin. And of course, those games, those 3-game series, will all be played at the higher seeds home ballpark. Then, starting with the division round series, the ALDS will be hosted at Petco Park in San Diego and Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles. The NLDS will be hosted at Globe Life Field in Arlington and Minute Maid Park in Houston. Then, the ALCS will be in San Diego. The NLCS will be in Arlington, and the World Series will begin on October 20th in Arlington, Texas, the new Texas Rangers ballpark, Globe Life Field, which seems like a nice ballpark from the inside. Some people have made fun of the way it looks from the outside, say it looks like some kind of sheet metal factory or warehouse in the middle of Texas. It's not a beautiful ballpark on the outside, but it looks nice from the inside. So we had some history go down this weekend, Trey. Albert Pujols, who in my opinion is definitely a top 10 player of all time, maybe top 5. I need to reevaluate that, look at that, see where exactly I have him on my all-time list. But he made some history, hit home run number 660, tying Willie Mays for fifth on the all-time home run list. He now trails Barry Bonds, Hank Aaron, Babe Ruth, and Alex Rodriguez on the all-time career home run list. 660, historic day for Albert Pujols. Obviously, his numbers have dropped off since he joined the Angels in 2012. A lot of injuries, just, you know, age, getting old. He hasn't performed as well, but still one of the all-time greats. And I mean, he's a lock, first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to do it post steroids era is kind of like Pujols started tail end of the steroids era, but never really was associated with it. It's kind of very Ortiz like his career. I think obviously he was a great first baseman until age got to him. World a champion with the Cardinals. I mean, the guy was a perennial best player in baseball for the first 10 years, and then he signed that contract with the Angels, and I think him, A-Rod kind of been like were the two that kind of turn teams away from those big contracts. And then you get guys like Trout, Harper, Yelich now getting those long-term Machado getting those long-term deals, and we'll see if those work out with them. So it was kind of rough his Angels years. Granted, he had no one around him except Mike Trout, and I think the Angels, I won't say they made a mistake, because I think when they signed Pujols, yes, they wanted to win, but I also think they wanted to it's kind of like being the second fiddle team in a big market. It's hard because it's the Yankees, Mets, Quandrum. Like, the Yankees are the Yankees. And the Mets, I think, are still big. I think they're the biggest of a two-market team in all of sports. I'd say it's either them or maybe the Jets, I would say. Those are, like, the two that maybe repeat itself. But in most cases, like, if you want to look at in basketball, the Lakers are the Lakers, and the Clippers are in L.A., but, like, if I went up to a random person and said, name a basketball team in Los Angeles, 9 out of 10 are going to pick the Lakers. And I'm being – it's the same thing. Name a team in New York. Name a baseball team in New York. The Yankees. Name a baseball team in Los Angeles. It's the Dodgers. So I think a part of it was just to get some eyes on their product by signing Pujols and acting like they're going to win. But to see him accomplish that, I think it just shows, obviously we had that debate before the season. Is he a Hall of Famer? And we both agreed he's well on his way. And I agree, first ballot Hall of Famer. So, but I think, I hope baseball looks at that 10-year contract from now and a little bit better. Cause right now everyone says it's just a bad contract, but I hope people realize just, I don't want to say the organizations run bad, but they never really fielded a good team. They just were like, all right, we have these two great baseball players in Trout and Pujols, and we're going to try to win. And that never really worked.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a shame that it never worked out, because obviously Pujols is one of the all-time great players. And he will go down in history, first ballot Hall of Famer. Like I said, I have him in my top 10, probably top 5. But great accomplishment, great feat by Albert Pujols, tying Willie Mays for 5th on the all-time home run list with 660 home runs. Now, there was an MLB.com article that pointed out that whenever Albert Pujols reaches a milestone in his career, something else historic tends to happen on the same day, or a few days before, or a few days after. In this case, it happened on the same day, as Chicago Cubs pitcher Alec Mills threw a no-hitter against the Brewers, a 12-0 victory for the Cubs. It was the 16th no-hitter in Cubs history. The second in MLB this season, Lucas Giolito of the White Sox threw a no-hitter earlier this year. It's the first time ever in Major League Baseball that both Chicago teams have thrown a no-hitter in the same season. I think that's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. And it's been cool to see kind of no big name pitcher throw a no hitter this year. It was just two guys. Obviously Lucas Giolito is a good stud, but like big names, like you would expect to maybe get flirt with a no hitter. No one really has. I think the fact that we've not really even, and maybe it's just due to lack of games and the way that pitching is now more bullpen based amongst a lot of teams, seeing those no-hitters, managers leaving players in there. I think with the 60 games and seven inning doubleheaders, we've seen less chances for a no-hitter.
Yeah. Yeah, there have been definitely less chances for no-hitters. So it's very impressive to see Alec Mills with this no-hitter. Of course, if you follow baseball at all, you've probably seen people talking about it this week, and one of the big parts of the story is that he was a former walk-on at Tennessee Martin, a small Division I school in the Ohio Valley Conference. He didn't even go there intending to play baseball. He went there just to go to college, walked by a baseball practice one day, and told the coach that he could play on the team, that he was good enough to play. So he got a tryout, ended up walking on, and now he's a major league pitcher for the Cubs with a no-hitter under his belt. So very impressive story by Alec Mills. Great stuff from the Cubs this week. They are the number 2 seed in the National League right now, and we'll see where they end up as we get towards the end of the 2020 Major League Baseball season. Well, Trey, I think this is going to be our last Zoom podcast for a while. Next week, we might be able to do this in person. Maybe we'll have to crack open a few beers and bring back the ballpark beer segment, do some beer reviews on the podcast.
Sounds like a plan. I think also we might be able to do some live reactions to postseason baseball, especially how Barstool Sports does the electric chair for their games. Maybe we have to bring our own version of that, and maybe we can get a beer sponsorship out of this. So anyone who wants to who has a brewery or something that wants to sponsor our podcast, we will drink your beer, and we will.
I mean, there are plenty of great breweries around the Richmond area. I actually went to the Diamond this past
I
weekend.
used
They're
to work
showing
there.
movies every Saturday. Yeah, I went. They're showing movies every Saturday. So me and Mariah, we went. We watched a movie and got a beer. They have a beer brewed for the Flying Squirrels by Center of the Universe Brewing in Ashland,
Yeah.
and it was a grapefruit beer. I didn't think I would like it, but it was actually very good. So.
I've never been able to drink a beer at the ballpark because the times I was there when I was 21, I was working. But
Well,
I
now you
know where
can.
all the game stuff is in the unless they've moved it since I worked, which I don't expect they have. So I know that. But yeah, Flying Squirrel is a top class organization, being very creative. I've seen I think I've seen a couple of the minor league parks. They turned it into their ballparks into like driving ranges during this time. So it's cool to see these ballparks that aren't having baseball right now get creative with how they're presenting things.
Yeah, definitely is. Definitely is. But we'll have to get together once you move back here, do some in-person things, some beer reviews, some podcasting. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited. I'm excited for fall too. It's a good time of year. You got playoff baseball, you got football coming
Every major
back, you
sport
got
is playing. You have the Stanley Cup Finals. You have the NBA. You have conference finals slash the finals in the NBA. You have postseason baseball, college football, football back, which I don't want to talk about after the weekend my team had. Then you have the U.S. Opens this weekend, which for me that is exciting because that's a great golf tournament. The Masters is coming. I mean, obviously, the summer was rough in terms of no sports, but it's kind of backloaded 2020 with a barrage. I think there's too many sports to watch, and it feels good to say.
It does. It does. I've got to ask you this, Trey, just because I mentioned it at the beginning of the podcast, and it's just something that I'm thinking. What's your feeling on pumpkin spice coffee or pumpkin spice anything?
It's overrated. I'm not the biggest fan.
All
What
right.
about you?
I'm a fan. I feel like there's a stigma and a
I
stereotype that
don't
it's
want to
all
do the
just for.
stigma, like it's your right to drink it. Like I don't care. I just personally
Yeah.
don't like it. Like
That's
I'm not the
fair.
biggest like pumpkin
That's
pie
fair.
fan too. Like I just don't like pumpkin spice anything really. Like it's okay. Like I've had a pumpkin spice latte before. It's okay. I'd rather like I like a caramel latte. Like or a French vanilla
Yeah,
latte,
those are
like
good
those
too.
are good to me. Like,
Those are good.
so but I want a few just because the summer I worked in Baltimore, there was a Dunkin' Donuts on my way to my internship, and obviously on campus we had a Dunkin' Donuts. I like Dunkin' Donuts maybe a little bit more than Starbucks. Plus, you can get more coffee
Oh yeah.
that's cheaper. Like I like to get the big iced coffee with caramel. That was good.
I prefer Dunkin' over Starbucks. I mean, I haven't even been to either this year. I just bought a jug of pumpkin flavored creamer at the grocery store and I've been putting that in my coffee, but no, Dunkin' over Starbucks all day, every day.
Sounds good. All right, I'm moving in next week, so I'll see you on
All
Saturday
right.
or I guess Sunday.
All right, that's going to do it for today's episode of Foul Ball Area. Thank you all for tuning in. Thanks to Trey Lyle. I'm Matthew Atkins. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Foul Ball Area podcast. Make sure to leave a review and a rating wherever you get your podcasts, and subscribe so you get new episodes as soon as they come out.